Paul Sir joins us. Paul, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Doing well, Jason. How are you?
Good. You filled out your bracket yet?
I have. I'm just preparing for the embarrassment that's going to follow starting tomorrow, probably about 10 a.m.
Okay. Now, who do you have in your final four?
I have Kansas.
Yep.
I have Oregon. I am one of the few that believe that they'll do it. I have Michigan State, and I have North Carolina. I'm not taking a lot of risks, obviously, but as I went through the bracket, I know that's not going to be the final four, Jason, but I have no idea who is going to upset who in this one.
Let's start, I guess, for those who like to root for the Canadians. Who do you is Murray the best Canadian in the tournament? Obviously for Kentucky. Who are some other guys that fans should maybe watch for if they're looking to cheer on the red and white?
Well, Murray is the best Canadian. There's a Canadian that Deshaun Pierce that plays for Dayton, who's very, very good. And then there's a list of other Canadians that I feel are good players, but not high impact players right now. I really think Canadians' eyes will mostly be on Jamal Murray because he has excelled this year. I think he'll be a top 10 pick, certainly a first round pick this year. And he really is the one from Canada that stood out and I think has the ability to make the greatest impact as we go into the NCAAs.
Paul, I just want to go back to Jason's question about your final four, and it's more from the angle of the number one seeds. When I look at Oregon and Virginia, North Carolina, and Kansas, I have to fess up to being a Jayhawks fan going way back. Who's the mortal lock among those four number one seeds given their team and their first round opponent? Is it Kansas for sure?
Okay, so your question, Robin, is who has
which number one seed is
going to win? Yeah. Oh, that's Kansas. Yeah, that would be Kansas. Florida Gulf Coast could give North Carolina a game. Hampton could give Virginia a game. And that's as much about how Virginia plays as how Hampton plays. Mm-hmm. But I think, Robin, to your question, that Kansas should be the one that rolls easily over their opponent in Austin Peay.
I was looking through the top 25 ranked teams this year, Paul, and I think 12 or 13 of them, guys at different times who were ranked in the top 10, lost to a team that wasn't seeded in the top 25. Is there just more parity in college basketball this year? Is it just the year of the upsets? Why have we seen so many non-ranked teams knocking off top-ranked teams this season?
I think it is parity, Jason. I think this year, more than any, I've seen teams, as you say, that you really would never expect beating teams that are storied, that are from storied programs. And in the past, it was unthinkable that a team, teams like Duke would lose to the teams that they've lost to. I think it's a combination of parity. I think it's also a combination of the early exit into the NBA draft, so you don't have the carryover of top talent staying around in the NCAA anymore. So every year it really becomes a roll of the dice as to how the great programs can retain the players that they do retain and then add their blue chip players in. So really anything's up for grabs. Like a lot of talk this year about three seeds losing to 11 seeds, fours and 13s. I even think this year we could see a 15 losing to a 2 at some in the first round, or a 15 beating a 2, rather. So, yeah, it is parity, but I think the reasons for the parity are the overall effects of the long-term exit from the NCAA early by the best players.
Interesting. Paul, when we look at some of the teams that are considered longer shots based on their seeding going in, when you look at your own bracket, who do you see as the dark horses in that 10 to 15 range?
Well, I'm a bit of a homer here because I'm from Iowa, so I'm hoping University of Northern Iowa will be one of those dark horses. You look at Hawaii. Hawaii's very, very good, and they're capable. They're very capable of beating California in the first round and maybe winning one or two rounds. Gonzaga's ranked number 11. That's the lowest ranking for Gonzaga in some time. Gonzaga has the ability to beat a couple of teams in this. Even Chattanooga, Indiana has to be very concerned about playing Chattanooga. That's a very athletic team. They've got experience at a variety of positions, and they could give Indiana a run. And then if they got into the second round, they'd be playing the winner of the USC-Providence game or North Carolina. And again, Chattanooga, they're not as big as North Carolina, but they couldn't match North Carolina's athleticism. So those are the kind of intriguing matchups that make March Madness so much fun.
Yeah, it's interesting, Paul, that you mentioned Hawaii. When these things are weighted, I just look at that matchup for one, and it speaks to where they play. I mean, Hawaii's 27-5 and a 13 seed. Cal is 23-10, yet a 4 seed. Big disparity there.
Yeah, but there becomes the difference between their conferences, yeah, as you point out, Robin. That's how it's weighted. They don't play the depth of schedule that California plays. However, that doesn't mean they're not a very good team. And so someone like a Hawaii, we would expect in this first round, is going to upset somebody with a much higher seed.
Paul, sir, joins us talking March Madness. Gets going tomorrow morning at around, I think, first tip-off's around 10:20 Edmonton time. Now, arguably the best college player in the country isn't even in the tournament. You know, LSU didn't qualify for this tournament, which is, I guess, disappointing, I'm sure, from the people who run it. But individual players, Paul, we know the top teams, we look at them. Are there individual players you feel that are capable of carrying a team themselves in this tournament? And if so, who are some of the top two or three guys?
I hate to say this, but for the first time, in years and years, Jason, I don't think there is that special player. And the best player, Ben Simmons, that people talk about so much, he wasn't even capable of carrying LSU in a down SEC into the tournament. This really is the year of the team and the team of unknowns. If you had to point right now, and if I had to point to one player who has the ability to carry a team on his back, I might seriously look at Jamal Murray, because in many games this year for Kentucky and in many games that mattered, Murray was the player that put Kentucky on his back and pretty much carried them through. So I really struggle this year with individual players. They do not have the standout player. The draft this year is going to be one of the more obscure drafts that we've had in a long time in terms of looking for impact players to step right out of the NCAA into the NBA and make an impact.
Is that because, you know, there's just the development has changed now, as you talked earlier about guys leaving earlier? Is that impacting even other players? Because maybe if you had a player who stayed 3 or 4 years, that might help even a first-year guy just because he gets to accelerate his game by playing with the better player. Is there a trickle-down effect that they're losing some of the better players too early for everybody involved?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jason. I think you put that very well. The overall net effect on the NCAA is to bring the talent level down and not allow players to develop by playing against NBA caliber players throughout their NCAA careers. And it's one of the shames of why the early exits and the effect that the early exits have on the NCAA. Yet, I would say this, in spite of that, March Madness is still a very unique event. The one and done, and the opportunity for lower seeds to have their shining moment, to be able to step up, upset a big name school, really is unlike any other event around. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Well, Paul, who do you have winning the entire bracket?
I picked Kansas. Mm-hmm. I, like Robin, am a Kansas fan, and I have been for a long time. And I'm hoping this is the year that Bill Self's team is able to put it together. They've disappointed so many other years, but yeah. I do believe they have the depth of talent this year that they might be able to take it all the way. But Tom Izzo, he's my sentimental favorite on the other side. And Izzo gets his team playing hard-nosed defense that usually is the best defense in the tournament. So I wouldn't count him out either.
Paul, always great to talk to you. I know you and Mark will likely be dissecting it on Sunday as well. Appreciate your time.
Likewise. Thank you.